Certainly thankful for Brother Dwayne's prayer on our behalf and would ask for a continuation of your prayers. I'm truly thankful to be here. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I've known most of you a greater part of my life, and I'm thankful that you continue to have a desire to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in a time and in a country where there's been a great decline in those situations. Brother Don brought a message last week out of John chapter 6 that was very telling, and even for the times in which we live. Ministers like him and myself often discuss the decline of attendance in the churches, not just in the Old Baptist Church, but around the country. And we see a time back in John 6, and that's not my subject. I want to talk about how thankful we are and what that should mean in our lives, and are we truly thankful. But in the early part of John chapter 6, there was a great multitude following Jesus Christ. And if you read, there was 5,000 men, and that didn't count the women and the children. So somewhere between 10 and 15,000 people were following the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of John chapter 6. Now, there were some that were following him that were not believers, and Jesus knew who they were. But he gets down there and he says, many of his disciples followed him no more. And he asked the 12. He went from 10 to 15,000 down to 12 before this chapter's over. Now, as Brother Don said, this wasn't Brother Don preaching. This wasn't me preaching. This wasn't Brother George preaching. This wasn't any minister. This is Jesus Christ, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the only perfect preacher that's ever lived. And we wonder why we have that decline today. Some of them came to see the show, you know, the miracles. A lot of people go to church to see the show. And sooner or later, the show plays out and they need a new show. But that's what they were after. Some of them came to fill themselves to eat. You know, I mean, we're going to have a great meal here, Lord willing, after lunch. But I hope that's not the reason and purpose that we came to church. I mean, that's the lesson that Jesus teaches in John 10. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And the real lesson in John chapter 6 is our life and our worship is to focus on Jesus Christ. The rest of this stuff out here in the world is just noise. We came into this world with nothing. You rest assured you're going to leave with nothing. So what we have in between is what God has given us. And it's not about how much or how little we have. It's what we do with what we have. It's how we act and react to the circumstances of life. And to understand that there was such a decline in followers of Jesus Christ when he was preaching, that doesn't give me any comfort today, but to realize that the message of Jesus Christ is not always highly appreciated. It's not always highly needed, especially when the comforts of life are as great as they are in this nation. And I'm thankful for those comforts. I'm thankful we have air conditioning. I'm thankful that we're not starving like they are in Africa. You know, we become content with many of the things of this world as though that's what life is about all around the globe, but it's not. I've been there. I've been to places where you wouldn't live. At least you think you wouldn't live, but you know if you hadn't been blessed to be born in the United States of America, you very well might be living there, if living anywhere. So, you know, we didn't choose our parents. We didn't choose our country. We didn't choose what might or might not be. God blessed you in every area of your life, regardless of what you have, regardless of how often or how few times you give him thanks. You have what you have. A lot, a little, or whatever, because God blessed you to have it. And I'm telling you right now, we ought to be thankful, and we ought to thank God every day of our lives. Now, most of you know that we try to bring a message sometimes at this time of year about Thanksgiving, about Christmas. You know, we got two of those holidays, as they call them now. Some of them don't want to call them by name in the United States. But when we think about these great holidays that are coming up, do you ever wonder if the underlying meaning and truth of what these holidays were originally meant has been lost in this commercial world that we're living in and the times that we're going through? You know, Thanksgiving has become a time to indulge in food. All we can eat, and the more the merrier, right? Football games, time off. It's a time for people not to have to go to work. And I'm not opposed to any of those things. But are we truly sitting down on Thanksgiving Day and giving thanks unto the God of heaven for what we have? Because friends, no matter how smart you are or how hard you've worked or how much money you inherited from mom and dad. You have what you have because God blessed you to have it. No other way do you have it. It wasn't something that you earned because you're better than the next fella. What you have because God blessed you to have it. We ought to be thankful for that every day that we live. And so Thanksgiving ought to be a regular part of our life. You know, back in the early times of this country, one of the first Thanksgiving on record was in Plymouth in 1621 between the Pilgrims and the Indians. And it was a time of being thankful for the food that they had from the harvest that they had had. And you go further back in time in the world, and you'll find there were days of fasting and days of thanksgiving. Now, I'm not opposed to those. Fasting's taught in the Bible, and it's something that we ought to engage in more often. Fasting was, the days of fasting took place when there was hard times in life. A lot of times when there was a drought, and these folks were having a difficult time making it through life. Maybe they didn't have the abundance of food or the needs that they wanted, and they fasted because they were making a sacrifice. See, the Bible teaches us that we are to make sacrifices, and I believe in that we're going to find out that thanking God is a sacrifice. It doesn't seem real, does it? It doesn't seem like that ought to be a sacrifice, but it is, and we'll see that here in just a little bit, Lord willing. But we ought to be thankful for everything that we have. Now, we ought to be thankful in the good and in the bad. And I believe by showing up in the congregation here and being a part of this congregation or wherever you serve every Sunday tells you that you have a thankful heart unto God, not unto me, not unto your brothers and sisters. Thankfulness is something that pours from within, not from without. You know, sometimes it's not easy to be thankful when life is not going just right. And we all have our troubles and we all have our afflictions, and none of them are likely exactly the same, but they're all a burden. They're all trouble. They all sometimes drag us down and cause us to have a hard time going on in life because they're real. They're heavy. They're hard to deal with sometimes. And sometimes when we have these troubles or we have these burdens, it's hard to be thankful. We forget how much we have to be thankful for. And we'll look at that. And I believe that begins. I'm going to read something here about Thanksgiving in the United States. It won't be long. It says in 1817, New York became the first of several states to officially adopt an annual Thanksgiving holiday. Now, they didn't have these holidays on the same day at that time. It says each celebrated it on a different day. However, the American South remained largely unfamiliar to the tradition. In 1827, the noted magazine editor and prolific writer Sarah Joseph Hale, author among countless other things of the nursery rhyme Mary Had a Little Lamb, most of us know what that is, said, launched a campaign to establish Thanksgiving as a national holiday. For 36 years, she published numerous editorials and sent scores of letters to governors, senators, presidents, and other politicians, earning the nickname the Mother of Thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln finally heeded her request in 1863. And at the height of the Civil War, in a proclamation entreating all Americans to ask God. You know, it's just amazing when we go back in time and look at the leaders of the country and the men and women that lived there, how they were drawn unto God so much more than we see them drawn unto God today. You see, their need for God, in my opinion, was far greater than the need for God today. Now, that need very likely and very well may come around again, but this was a very troubling time in our country. Lots of mothers and fathers lost their young sons in these battles of the Civil War. It was a bloody battle within the border, the borders of the United States of America, and it wasn't something to be taken lightly. In a proclamation, he said, to ask God to commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife, to heal the wounds of a nation. He scheduled Thanksgiving for the final Thursday in November. Now, there was a couple of years during Roosevelt's reign that they moved that, but then it was eventually brought back, and every fourth Thursday of November, we now celebrate a day called Thanksgiving Day. There's nothing wrong with that. I do believe that the underlying truth of what that day was meant to be has been lost in all the theatrical things that go on in life now. You know, Thanksgiving has become a day to begin all this shopping of every kind. I mean, you got your Black Fridays, and now you got your Black Thanksgiving days, and they've kind of blackened the day itself, you might say, but it's about money. You know, if you ever want to understand one verse in the Bible that is completely true, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not the money, but the love of it. And most of the time, when you peel the onion back and you look down deep, you're going to find at the root of the problem, and the root, and I believe that be the root of the problem of Thanksgiving today as we know it in Christmas, is money. It's money. It's become so commercialized that we've lost the value. You know, Christmas, and we're not going to preach on that this morning, but it was the gift of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that's really important at Christmas. But how many of us give any deep consideration to that? You know, it's a time of parties and celebrations, and every work has a party, and everybody else has a party. And I mean, we're just party hardy there for about a month of some kind, a lot of us, and go to this event or that event. And it's very easy to get caught up in all these things and lose sight of what's real and what that holiday literally meant. You know, Jesus wasn't born on December 27th, but that's immaterial. What's material is we should celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ every day that we live. Had he not been born, we'd have no hope. Had he not went to the cross of Calvary, we'd still be in our sins without any hope. So you think about Thanksgiving. Are we truly thankful for those things that God give us? Maybe things are not going real good with you this year. Maybe you're having troubles of some kind in life. We all have them. Sometimes more of them than we want to admit. You know, you hate to talk about troubles, but Job said a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He didn't say he'd have a trouble here, there, and yonder, or maybe one. He said he's full of trouble. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. In me, you can get by the troubles of this world. You can get through them. You may not get rid of them, but you have the ability with his grace to go on and to understand that there is something beyond this life that is so troubling. And I think that's what helps each one of us to continue to march forward in life. You know, there's coming a day when we'll have no more tears or sorrows or pains or suffering or sleepless nights. That we'll be in the presence of the Lord with those who've went on before us. And what a day that'll be. I'm telling you, it'll be better than any day you've had. The day you made the most money in this world, the day your children were born, the happiest day you can think of in your life will not compare to the day that you open your eyes in the presence of Jesus Christ. Not one thing on this earth will compare to it. What a day that'll be. So we got much to be thankful about. You know, I'm thankful that Brother Gale and members of Leveland Littlefoot are going to come over and eat with us. I mean, I'm thankful for fellowship. It's something that we as God's people need. Where more should we be day in and day out or as often as we can to be among those of like faith, those of like love, those of like concern, those who can come into a place together and assemble themselves as a refuge out of this world. You know, I was talking to several of them this morning about, can we enter into the house of God without talking about everything going on with us in the world? Old Brother Paul Hardy used to pray up at Paradin to help us to remove the vain and statutory things from our minds when we enter into God's house. We got six more days coming up that we can just flood our minds with all these things. And they're just things. They're just noise. They're just things God give you to sustain you till he calls you home. You know, like Job said, you came into this world with nothing, and I can promise you, you're going to leave this world with nothing. Those things are going to stay behind. But we need to be thankful. I want to read what Thanksgiving really is. First of all, it's to be grateful, but this meaning of Thanksgiving carries a lot of weight. It says, when you're impressed with a sense of kindness received. Have you ever received kindness from anyone? Do you feel a kindness given unto you by the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, there's something wrong with you. I hate to say that. There's something wrong. Jesus has provided our every need. Do we not continually feel a sense of kindness received on his part, ready to acknowledge that? That's thankfulness. You know, I don't care how bad the times are. It doesn't matter. We ought to be grateful. You know, Brother George used to say it's the half cup, half empty theory. You know, you can view the glass as being half empty or you can view it as being half full. There's a lot of truth to that. Because no matter how bad your life may be, or no matter what affliction you may be undergoing, you know, I told you a while ago, and I know it's a concern, but I have seen people who are in tune with the Lord, who worship the Lord, or gathered with the Lord's people, when tragedy or physical affliction, and I know some to this very day, spoke with one yesterday, who has a loved one who's probably headed toward their last days in this life, and yet they're full of joy because of their joy in the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean they're never going to have any mourning or sorrow, but I tell you, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. There are people out there that lose their loved ones, that their lives are utterly destroyed because they just can't handle it. It's not easy, but through the strength of Jesus Christ, we can do that, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the hope that dwells in my heart, hopefully, and in your heart, that there's coming a day when we'll be where they are. You know, David committed those great sins, and I tried to preach on that yesterday, but you know, when that young son died, 7 days old, and he was promised that he'd die, David said, he will not return unto me, but I'll go unto him. That's the hope you have. Whoever you love that passes on, and they're going to pass on. You know, can you imagine if you look in this congregation since Brother George passed, how many other folks have passed? 10 years ago. There's a lot of folks not here today. Not every one of them has passed, but a lot of them have, and a lot more are going to. I mean, the clock keeps ticking. It doesn't stop ticking. I don't care what you're doing, how much hard you're working, how much traveling's going on, clock never stops. It ticks on. And our time draweth nigh, whether we believe it or not. It's what we do between the time we're born and the time we die that really matters. It's not about how much we have or how little we have. It's how we use what we have to the good and the benefit of God's glory, to the help of our brothers and sisters. You know, we're told that we're to carry the burdens of those who are burdened. If you know someone that's burdened, help carry that load if you see them, because that's what we're called upon to do in this life. In Psalms 34, we'll begin there for just a little bit. The first three verses of this psalm are very interesting. They're a psalm of thanksgiving. David is very thankful. Now, a couple of weeks ago when I preached out of the Psalms, I found it very interesting that you can go back into the life of David or any other patriarch, and oftentimes you can come to the Psalms and you get an in-depth view of what their heart and soul was thinking when they were undergoing those difficulties. In Psalms 21, David was on the run from Saul. He was like a fugitive. Saul had been rejected as king by God, and God had anointed David as a young lad to be king over Israel. And David, of his fear of Saul, decided to take refuge with the enemy. You know, sometimes we seek refuge with the enemy, and we got a lot of enemies out there in the world. You got to be careful where you put yourself. But David actually went to the land of Palestine, to the Palestinians, I believe that, or Philistines. I said Palestinians, that's today, Philistines. You know, Goliath was a Philistine, and he slew him with the power of God. But it wasn't long till he got there, and they recognized him. Is he not the one who they sang about that slayed his 10,000s and Saul slayed his thousands? And he became exceedingly fearful. And he changed his behavior. And he acted like a madman. He really did. He scratched on the doors. He had a beard. He let spittle run down his beard and all over him. You know, you can imagine. And they drove him out and he escaped. They thought, you know, this guy, Achish was the name of the king. And they were called Amulek, which was a kind of like calling that are head over, or rulers over Egypt, Pharaoh. No matter who the man was, he was always called Pharaoh. But they drove him out, and he went to the cave of Adullam. And there were about 400 came there, and he was made a captain over them. He began in Psalm 34 to encourage those folks that were with him in that time of distress by reading this psalm to them. And we're only going to look at three verses this morning. But David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. That word bless there in the Hebrew means thank. You can put that in there. I will thank the Lord at all times. He didn't say, I'll thank the Lord when the Lord rescues me from this man that's chasing me. I'll thank the Lord when I get in the palace and sit up on my throne, or when times are good. He said, I'll thank the Lord at all times. Isn't that amazing? That tells me that there's never a time in our lives that we ought not to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. Furthermore, he says, I will. He is willing to be thankful. He wasn't commanded. We are commanded to be thankful. Over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule your heart, to which we're all called in one body, and be ye thankful. You're commanded to be thankful. But I tell you, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ as you should love him, your heart should pour out with thanksgiving every day that you live. You ought to be thankful for the air that you breathe. You ought to be thankful you're able to get up in the morning and get out of bed. You know, there are those who never get out of bed. I mean, if you begin to sit down and meditate upon this, the things of life, you'll find out that we've got more to be thankful about than we've ever had to complain about. You know, this is a message that I need for myself, and I told my wife, I said, when I'm complaining, and I think this to be so with everybody else, when I'm complaining, I'm not thankful. I'm really not. I'm not thankful when I'm complaining about myself, my family, my friends, or any other issue in life. I'm just not thankful. Because even with those folks, there's more to be thankful about with them than there is to complain. You know, complaining is something that comes natural to our human nature. Sometimes complaining is all we know how to do. And when you see a person complain all the time, you wonder if they've had anything ever to be thankful for. But I tell you what, David said, I will thank the Lord at all times, not some of the time. That tells me regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's going on in our life, we have something to be thankful about. And no matter how bad it is, the one thing I know each of you here have to be thankful about is one day this going to end. You're not going to have any more tears. You're not going to have any more sleepless nights. Death will never affect you again. You'll never have any misery, pain, suffering. I tell you what, if there was ever anything to be thankful about that would keep us continuing on our way, it's the very fact that we've been given the hope of eternal life. We can thank God for that every day, regardless of what our circumstances are in life. I will bless the Lord. I will thank the Lord at all times. You know, I haven't always done that myself. Oftentimes, it's so easy to complain about our work, our situation. When I was farming and I didn't have enough rain, I didn't have enough water. You know, it's endless what we can complain about. But I tell you, there's more to be thankful about than there is to complain about. David said, I will thank the Lord at all times. I believe that means under any circumstances, under any conditions. You know, troubles come to us. Afflictions come to us. And there's not any of us that are not going to undergo those troubles in this life. They just really are. They're troubles from death to just physical afflictions. Just look around sometime when you think your life is so bad and look at others. I mean, we see them all the time. And just be thankful that you're in better shape than somebody else. You don't wish that on them, but most of the time, there's somebody worse off in our lives or that we know than we are. We got much to be thankful for. And, you know, that's where I need to get. I need to quit griping about what I don't like and be thankful for what I have. Have you got a good wife? Have you got children? Have you got good parents? I mean, it's endless what you can be thankful for. Because you didn't have to have a good set of parents. You could have been an orphan. You could have been put out on the streets. I don't know many personally, but I know this country's full of them. And most of them are raised and they have no respect for authority. We know what happened to those who didn't have good parents and good grandparents. I mean, we just got so much to be thankful about. We cannot possibly, we ought not to ever think about anything bad or complain about it. We do have troubles. We get sick. We get afflicted. We have those things, but we have so much to be thankful for. We have each other. I love each of you, and I hope you love one another. And it's something we ought to be thankful for. Just like the love I felt yesterday over there at Crossman, I'm so thankful that we have brethren and sisters of like kind faith and of love and a desire to be with one another as we will here in a little while when those other folks show up. What a blessing that is to us in our life and how thankful we ought to be for it. He goes on and says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's praise and thanksgiving are one thing, and I may step on the toes of a few folks about their singing, but I'm going to tell you, if you listen to what God says here, it ought to make you think. You know, some folks will tell you, I don't sing because I'm not a good singer. Some folks just don't want to sing. Some folks don't want to use the gift that was given unto them. Some of them are like the one talent. person. They were given a gift and they were given opportunities and they thought that their gift didn't matter very much. They buried it. And God took it away from them. But he says his praise. Praise speaks of a hymn or a song in your heart shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. Notice what the apostle says in Hebrews chapter 13. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Praise. When you're singing unto the Lord, you're making a sacrifice. We all want to make a sacrifice. Look at the sacrifice he made for you and I. He went to the cross of Calvary and bore every sin that you and I ever committed and died in our room instead. And our only hope of going to heaven is based upon what he did, based upon his sacrifice and his sacrifice alone. We ought to want to sacrifice by singing unto the Lord. The Bible tells us that. And it ought to be continually. David said, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Shall, not might be, shall be continually in my mouth. We need to praise the Lord. And we pray, if we're thankful like we ought to be, we'll praise the Lord. Notice what it says in the 100 Psalms. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. We'll get to that. Make a joyful noise. Shout. The Bible tells us that if we were as thankful as we ought to be, we ought to be shouting. We ought to be shouting out with hymns and song. To some of us, that seems so foreign. Even though we've heard it all our life, I can't sing. I got to have something to cover up the singing. That ain't what the Bible says. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. We talk about that sacrifice of offering praise unto God by the fruit of our lips continually. That's what he said in Hebrews. 19th verse of Ephesians chapter 5 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always, not some of the time, always, for all things. You know, sometimes, as I preached yesterday, we got to be thankful for God's chastening. And that's something that's hard for human beings to do. You know, we live in a world today that, in the Christian world, many of them would say, the God I serve would not do that. But that's not the God of the Bible. They're not serving the same God that wrote this Bible or inspired this Bible. They're just not. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I mean, we could go on and on about that. But that's the God of heaven and the God of this Bible. And he loves us. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to always give thanks. There's not a time in your life. And I know you've went through troubling times. I know some of you here just like you know me. But that was no excuse to not thank God for what you did have. You know, somebody out there loved you when you was going through your bad times. Aren't you thankful they were there to stand by your side when you was so troubled? I know I am. I know some of you are. It's just part of life. That's how we're to bear one another's burdens. That's how we're to not think more highly of ourselves than others. We're to be there for one another. We'll help one another through the struggles of life. We're to show our love in that manner, one to another. And I'm so thankful that God has given us that blessing and that knowledge and that understanding to go forward and live our lives in that manner. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. You know, men are famous for boasting and bragging about everything that they do in this life. And we've probably all been caught doing some of that. But David said here, I will make my boast, I will make my bragging in the Lord. We're told in 1 Corinthians 1 and 29, there shall no flesh glory in his presence. You know, the humble are who the Lord looks unto. The humble, I believe, are who the Lord blesses. That's why we were called in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. We're told to call upon the Lord. We're told to humble ourselves. We're told to seek his face. We're told to turn from our wicked ways. It says here, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. not in the world, not in someone else. If you have a thankful heart, your boasting will be of the Lord, not of some favorite thing you have in this life. You know, there are things that go on in life, and I've been guilty of this. If I put that much attention toward the Lord Jesus Christ and focused on him the way I do those things, what would it be like in this world to live in that manner? You know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. We have a weak flesh. It says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, the proud will never hear you when you speak of the Lord and his goodness. They just won't. They're caught up in their pride and their ways and in their life. They're not nearly as thankful as they ought to be. It's the humble who hear. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. It's the humble who are blessed of the Lord. It's the humble who hear. And when you're magnifying God through a heart of thanksgiving and the praise of God is continually in your mouth, it's very easy to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and to give him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor for everything, for your salvation, for your natural life, for the blessings you receive today, tomorrow, and the next day, however long God may bless you to live. All of it goes unto him. All the glory goes to him, not to you, not to me. Not to grandpa, grandma. Yeah, they were great folks in our life. And I loved each one of them to death. They were very special to me. But the glory goes to God. None else. The thanks go unto God. I thank God for my grandparents, for my parents. They were great inspirations in my life and great examples, as we are to be great examples unto our children and our grandchildren. Verse 3 says, and oh, magnify the Lord with me. That means to enlarge the Lord, to lift the Lord up. Are we magnifying the Lord in our lives? We know that Mary magnified the Lord Jesus Christ over in Luke chapter 1 to lift him up, to put him first and foremost. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. David was encouraging, magnify God with me and let us together exalt him, to lift his name up, to exalt his name together. That's why we assemble. That's our real purpose here, to praise God. And in worship, we're to lift up his name together, to exalt his name together, to glorify him in the best way that we know how. Notice what it says in Psalms 35 and verse 18. He says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. David said this, the great congregation. There's a purpose in assembling ourselves together as the Lord's people. I will praise thee among much people. You know, we're to be examples one to the other in thanksgiving and to praise God through song and through our service unto him. He is the Lord. We are his creation. We were created for his glory. Did you know that? No other reason were you created than to glorify God. That doesn't mean you will not work. God said if you don't work, you ought not to eat. But in everything you do in life, from your work to your family activities, should be to the praise and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, most of us know what that is. It's went to church any part of our life. It's not departing this place and putting the Lord in the drawer till next Sunday or next month. It's an everyday affair with the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve him. We worship him. He has to be first and foremost in your life. If he's not, then all these things in this world will allow you to stop serving him, to put him off when it's not convenient. Jesus Christ has to be first in our life and in our minds and in our thoughts if we're going to give him the proper thanksgiving and glory that he deserves. He deserves it. I don't deserve anything, but God deserves it all. Jesus Christ deserves our full attention. Jesus Christ deserves our full attention. We need our honor and our glory unto him. He deserves that. Why? Because he secured your eternal life when you and I had no hope. We couldn't do anything about it. He loved you so much that he died for you. Do you know anybody that you really love that you don't know, that you don't like, that hates you, that you would go and die for? Think about that. You know, you might say, I'll die for mom, I'll die for my wife, but how about dying for somebody that hates you? How about dying for somebody that cares nothing about you? They don't love you? They don't want anything to do with you? How about dying for them? That's who Jesus Christ died for. He died for sinners. We were enemies. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. He died for those that cared nothing about him. That's the reason we owe him all the praise, honor, and glory every day that we live. You know, I know we're weary creatures. I know we get tired. I know we run hard in this old life. But it takes a conscious effort to change things. And I thought about that in going over there. I said, I got to do something different. We got to be an example unto other folks. We got to be an inspiration unto other folks. I believe the Christian influence in this country has declined drastically since I was a kid. And I think all of you would agree. That's a difference. You know, we talk about giving thanks. Do we give thanks to God at our meals? Think about that. There was a time in my life I didn't give thanks. Maybe Brother George was an inspiration on me. You know, I used to never go to a restaurant and give thanks, but I do all the time now. Not because I can be seen amen, because God deserves it. He deserves my thanks and my gratitude for the food that he set before me. And you know, if we had those examples more and more in this life, that influence around the world, do you give thanks for every meal you eat at home? I mean, there's a place to begin. It's discipline, doing the right thing. Because the food that you eat today, tomorrow, or any other time, you eating it, you're going to eat it because God blessed you to have it. Not because you were strong and full of money and you went out on your own and you done something no one else could do. You know, God blesses one man with abundance, blesses another man with less. I don't understand that, but it doesn't really matter. We take what God has given us and we're to give thanks for that. And most of us, one thing that we've had in the United States of America in my lifetime is we've had food. You may not have had everything you wanted. You may not have had everything that you would like to have, but most of us have not went without food. I haven't, not a day in my life that I remember. Now, I may have had to eat a few things that my mother put on the plate that I didn't like. I'm not talking about eating things you didn't like. I'm just talking about things that not having food. We haven't been down that road that I know of. I doubt anybody here has. We got so much to be thankful for. You know, maybe we hadn't ended up with a big mansion. Maybe we don't have a Rolls Royce. Maybe we don't have the things in life that when we were youngsters we thought we'd have. But I tell you, we got something more precious than that. We got the Lord Jesus Christ. We got something more precious than gold or silver. We do. It's our faith, and our faith is tried as we go through life, and our hope in Jesus Christ. We got so much to be thankful for, we can't begin to know where to end when we start talking about the things that we're thankful for. Let's notice what it says over in Psalms 100. We're going to get verse 4. There's only five verses. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, if we're as we ought to be, we're going to enter his gates on a regular basis with thanksgiving in our heart. Just the liberty and freedom in the United States today just to come to the Lord's house when we want to. You know, if we decided to meet on Tuesday night, we could do that. Wouldn't matter. You know, there was times in England under the Church of England that those that didn't believe like the state church, they had church in caves. They had church in places they had to hide out. You know, some people in this country have become so content with what they have, they think they deserve it. And they think that the world is just like this everywhere you go. Friends, I'm here to tell you, God could draw the rug out from under our feet anytime he wanted to, and we wouldn't have all these things. God has blessed us immensely, and we ought to always be tremendously thankful for those things in our life. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Do you enter into the house of the Lord? Do you offer up the sacrifice of praise through song? A song in your heart continually? God says we're to sacrifice. And that's one way we praise the Lord is through song. He didn't say if you sing like the finest singer in Nashville. He didn't. There's nothing in the Bible about that. It's singing from the heart. Making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Singing psalms through thanksgiving. It is a sacrifice, as we said over in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Through prayer, through thanksgiving, through song and praise, we thank God for his glorious gift of Jesus Christ and for the very things that you and I enjoy today. You know, I know in my own life I have not been nearly as thankful as I should be. And I've done far more complaining than I have thanking God. And it's something that, as I've thought about this message, that I really want to work on, because it doesn't matter what goes on in this world. I've got so much to be thankful for, I can't begin to explain or to list it out. He says, enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Be thankful. Are we thankful unto God? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. God has chosen you. He has drawn you into his fold. And when we're in his courts, we ought to be praising him through song. And even in the days of the week, do you have a song in your heart unto the Lord? Do you thank God in the morning and in the night for all the goodness of the day? You know, sometimes the day doesn't go very good, does it? But you know, the day probably could have been a lot worse, regardless of how bad it was. I know we've all seen days that were worse. Like I said, it's sometimes hard to dwell on the good, and it's easy to dwell on the bad. But friends, we've been blessed, and we are still blessed, and I believe we'll be continued to be blessed. And one day we'll be ultimately blessed when we're delivered out of this world in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. It says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Exalt him, lift up his name. It says, why would we want to do that? We're going to look at these other four verses and we're going to understand why. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth all generations. Why would you thank God? Why would you praise him? Because he's good. He's good to you. No, he may not have given you everything you want. He may allow some things to happen in your life for your own good, for your own benefit, that were troubling, were hard to deal with. You know, Paul had something that was hard to deal with in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He had a thorn in his side, and you know we all got a thorn in our side. And don't think for a minute I'm talking about your wife or your husband. They may be the thorn in your side, but you know, we all have thorns in life. We really do. Jesus wouldn't remove the thorn. He prayed three times. He said, my grace is sufficient. Jesus just told him, he said, I'm not going to take away your problems, but I'm going to give you what's necessary to get through your problems. He says, I'm going to go with you hand in hand, and if so, I'll carry you at times when the times are difficult. But those troubles that we endure in life are those things that cause us to draw nearer unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever noticed that the better your life's going, the further away from God you get? That's very much the human way, very much the natural man's way. Everything's going smooth. Everything's going just like you want it. Brother George used to quote this verse, and I think about it a lot. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Things can be going pretty good, and then a great fall can come. We always have troubles out here in this world. There's always a storm on the horizon. If you're going through some smooth sailing this time, be prepared. There's another storm coming. Don't know how bad the storm will be, but they're not going to end until you and I go home to be with the Lord. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. For God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. He loves us. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We were saved by his mercy. We're delivered according to his mercy time and time again. God is a God of long suffering. But as Brother Don said Wednesday night, God's long suffering is not endless. It's not. I spoke of that yesterday in my own experience in my own life. God's suffering is not endless. There comes a time that God, if he loves you, and you've strayed off the beaten path far enough, I believe God in his own way, especially built and fit for each and every one of us, will draw his children back in. And you know, I'll tell you today, I'm more thankful for that, as difficult as it was, than anything in my life. I really do. I am so thankful. You know, I wouldn't wish those kind of things on anyone, but I tell you, when you look back upon the blessings that poured out in my life, I thank God every day for the things that happened and what was brought forth unto me in my life. We're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving because we know God is a God of mercy. He's a long-suffering God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Back in the first verse, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord. Do the work of the Lord. You know, Jesus said in John 17, he said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The work doesn't get us to heaven, but God calls upon us to serve him, to do the work of the Lord with gladness, with glee and joy in your heart. That's how we're to serve God, with glee and joy in our hearts. Come before his presence with singing. Oh, how, if we study God's word, singing is so important and so necessary, and it brings so much praise unto God, and it's a sacrifice. We ought to be willing to make that sacrifice based upon the sacrifice he made for us. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. He made us. He created us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. He created us naturally. He put his spirit within us. And he went to the cross of Calvary and he paid the ultimate price to live with him forever. He made the greatest sacrifice any human being's ever made. He was a perfect sacrifice and without sin. You know, we're told over in the end of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that great chapter that tells about the coming, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God which give us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, it didn't say, thanks be to God, we earned our victory through Christ. We were given that victory having done nothing. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you go to the Lord in prayer next time, you be sure and thank him for everything that you have. You know, that's a hard, but you can continuously thank him for something because you've got so much good in your life. You know, we're to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're to let our requests be made known unto God. I encourage you today that when Thanksgiving comes this year, if you're meeting together with your family or if you're not, take some time. I mean, 30 minutes and meditate and go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for all the goodness in your life. Begin with the great blessing of being born in this wonderful land that we live in, yeah? It may be going in the wrong direction, but here today, we still live in the best place upon the earth. Did you know that? That's something to be thankful for. And you know, with God in control, and he is, that could change. We need to pray for that. Very thankful we can go to the Lord, and the Lord says he hears our prayers. We need to pray unto God for the things that are not going according to the way we'd like in our personal lives or collectively in our churches or in the nation. Thanks be to God for his wonderful gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.